This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. And we're looking now at personalities in the region, not specifically because there is some transforming event in Peru, for example, or Argentina, but because these personalities rise above the economics of recovery from the pandemic or the worldwide inflation or even outside actors. I begin with the president of Peru, Mr. Castillo. Evan, the puzzle here is Castillo is an amateur, and he's been forgiven the serial mistakes that he's made since his election. However, the cabinet members come and go, and most recently, I believe, his new foreign minister resigned within days when Castillo went on social media and contradicted him. It had to do with the Polisario. It probably is involved in some way in international crime. But Castillo continues because who benefits from Castillo's bumpkinishness and what you'd have to say suggestive, sinister attitudes, perhaps given to him by other voices we don't know? Who prospers with him in office?
It's a great question, John. And the larger context, of course, is that Peru's political situation really continues to degrade both in the executive, but also in the Congress. So the series of political changes that included Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, that included Martin Vizcarra, that included multiple presidencies in the course of days before you got to Castillo's election, among a very broad field. So that level of degradation in a party system, which actually has multiple parties and in which the older established forces have themselves crumbled. What you have is inexperience governing essentially fragmentation. And so with respect to Castillo, we've moved from some initial struggles between trying to escape from the leftist Vladimir Cerrone, who wanted to control him, to his own shabby friends from Cajamarca, but that inexperience has led to frustration, cabinet after cabinet after cabinet. So I believe over 60 cabinet ministers, we may be approaching 70 at this point. His foreign minister and one other were the most recent two. But as you also point out, within Peru's political system, the essentially, if Castillo is removed from office, and one of the only ways that you can actually do that is an obscure legislative provision that lets you be inhabilitated on moral grounds. And so right now, Castillo's family has, including his own in-laws, have actually had legal actions against them for acts of corruption. Castillo himself has been accused of involvement in a number of different bribery scandals, including one involving the Chinese, something called the Chinese Construction Club scandal. Multiple ministers of his have actually fled the country and are now cooperating with the law. The problem is you can't actually criminally remove a sitting president. But what you can do is if you can create enough momentum in Congress is you can basically vote out a president on basically moral incapacity. The problem is once you vote out the president, that sets a clock ticking for new elections, both for the presidency and for Congress. And so for everyone who is frustrated and disgusted with Castillo and the chaos of his administration, the question is that if they start that clock ticking, what will the next Congress look like? What will the next presidency look like? And so there's a certain momentum that the chaos that you have may be better in your calculations than the chaos that you don't have. But the Congress, who will make that decision itself, is in chaos. Indeed, the most recent president of Congress, somebody relatively well-qualified, relatively well-respected Lady Camiones, got in trouble because she was essentially taped with the head of her party, as somebody regarded as highly corrupt, who was essentially trying to instruct her with respect to legislation which would have personally benefited him. And so trouble all around, but in the process of that fragmentation and chaos, not enough consensus to move forward with a step like morally inhabilitating President Castillo.
So the rascal you know rather than the rascal you don't know. We turn to Cristina Kirchner in Argentina, the very powerful vice president, surviving what we're told was an assassination attempt, though there are mysteries there, under prosecution for corruption and with a president who may or may not want her to continue. Cristina Kirchner is a link to crimes of the past and the suggestion of outside bad actors. How do you measure? We just have a minute, Evan, and I wanted to touch on her. How do you measure her power now? Has it been clipped in any fashion or more than ever after the assassination attempt? We have a minute.
Kristina has always had a very strong following among the leftist wing of the Peronists. And that has not entirely gone away. Certainly the accusations of corruption have hurt her somewhat. Although at the same time, the assassination attempt against her when essentially the gun with five bullets failed to fire, that has gotten her a certain amount of sympathy vote. But there is in Argentina more broadly a certain frustration and disgust with where Peronism has gone. And that's a factor in Argentina's upcoming elections next year. But of those hardcore who believe and who are charmed by Cristina and are willing to overlook some of her eccentricities, this only reinforces their affection for her.
Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College. He is the Latin American research professor at the Strategic Studies Institute, commenting on two of the outsized personalities in the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.